Today's Tanya for the 13th day of Tammuz, Yud Gimel Tammuz, is at the beginning of Perek Dalet of Tshuva. It's on page 186. The number at the bottom of the page is 356. In the earlier Perek, the Rebbe explained the role of fasting in Tshuva, in that the fasting is to replace the suffering that is sometimes necessary in order to cleanse and purify the soul before God. But tshuva itself, the forgiveness for the sin, comes through the return to God and the abandonment of sin. And because we are not healthy in our generation, we don't have the strength for the many fasts that are necessary to bring about this purification, this cleansing of the neshama. Therefore, the suggested advice is to replace the fasting with tzedakah. Perek Dalet. V'ulam kol hanizkar le'il. All that was mentioned above concerning fasts and what kind, how many fasts one must have and which ones can be redeemed through tzedakah and so on. Hu ligmar hakapozo u'mizuk hanefesh v'Hashem. All of that is for the purpose of completing the forgiveness and cleansing the nefesh before God. And this is achar ha-tshuva. This comes not as part of tshuva, but after tshuva. K'meisha muva li'il. Me'ha-gemara perekama d'zvachim, as we quoted earlier in the last chapter, from the gemara in Zvachim, the oila, the carbon oila, that was brought in a Beis HaMikdash, was for the purpose of gaining forgiveness, but it was deizon. It was a gift that was brought. Li'acha shezitza haprakwit. We gave the example of a person who angered the king, and then he sends a messenger, an intercessor, to plead for forgiveness. And when the king offers forgiveness, the person then sends a present. The present is not to gain forgiveness, which was already gained, but to reestablish acceptance to the way it was before the crime or the sin was committed. So the oila comes after the forgiveness. And so it is with the fasting and the tzedakah. Omnom haschol las mitzvahs hatshuva v'ikra. But the beginning of tshuva and the essence of tshuva is lo shuv ad Hashem be'emes u'v'lev shalim, is the return to God with honesty and with wholeheartedness. And ha'hechech levayeh, and it is necessary to explain heitev b'harchovas habiyur, to explain well with a more lengthy explanation what the nature of this tshuva is. Behegdim, and this will be done by prefacing an understanding of what it says, b'zeyar hakodesh. What the Zehar says, b'biyur milas tshuva al derech haseid, where the Zehar explains the word of tshuva according to Kabbalah. And that is that the word tshuva is a composite of the two words toshuv hei, to return the hei, referring to the hei in God's name. Since there are two heis in God's name, so the hei tato, returning the lower hei, or the second hey, the last hey in God's name, that's tshuva tato. That's a lower level of tshuva. So when we bring the second hey back to its source, which is the letter vav, which precedes it, that's called the lower level tshuva. Hey ilo, when we return the higher hey, meaning the first hey, what do we return it to? To the letter preceding it. We connect the hey to the yud. Since this is the higher hay, it is therefore called tshuva ilo. It is called the higher level tshuva. That's the statement in the Zehar, which we need to understand. The Gam, we also need to preface the explanation of what tshuva is by explaining mashakos of the Zehar HaKadosh B'Ktzas Mekemes, that which it says in the Zehar in certain places, she'ein tshuva me'eles lepegim brisei u'meitizera levatoa. That tshuva doesn't help if one transgresses for the sin of violating the covenant and wasting the seed. And what we need to understand there, what needs to be explained, is that we know that hudavar tamua, this is an amazing statement, a difficult statement, because we know she'ein loch davar emid b'fnei tshuva. We know that nothing can stand in the way of tshuva. There's nothing that tshuva can't correct, va'afilu avedezor v'gili arayis, etc. Even those sins for which we are supposed to die, rather than violate, as for example, idol worship and adultery, even those sins you can do tshuva for, so how is it that for the wasting of seed you can't do tshuva? Pirish Bereishis Chochma, and for this reason the Bereishis Chochma explains Shekavonas HaZehar, that the intention of the Zehar, the meaning of that statement is She'ein Me'eles Tshuva Tato, that for this particular sin the lower level tshuva, which is the common level tshuva, and therefore referred to as tshuva. So this normal common tshuva is not sufficient. Ki'im tshuva ilo. How then do we gain forgiveness for the sin? By doing the higher level tshuva. So it's not that tshuva on any level doesn't help. It means only that the lower level tshuva, a common tshuva, would not help for this sin, and you need a higher level tshuva in order to gain forgiveness. So to understand this at least a little bit, ma'at mizeir, ma'at means in quantity, a little bit in the quantity of the understanding, mizeir, a tiny drop of the quality of understanding that is necessary. So to understand this a little bit, so we first have to understand that which it says in the Torah and in the Gemara, inyan hakodesh u'misa b'dei shamayim. The nature of the punishment of kodesh and death from heaven. And that is, k'sh'over aveda shechayovim aleh hakodesh. We are told that when a person sins, and the sin is punishable by kodesh, excision of the soul, then what would happen is hayomes mamash kedem chamishim shana. The person would die, literally, physically, he would die before his 50th birthday. That's the kodesh. Obemisa b'dei shamayim, and those sins that are punishable by death from heaven. What would happen then? Hayomes mamash kedem shishim shana. He would literally die before his 60th birthday. These are the two punishments of kodesh and misa b'dei shamayim. Kodesh means that the person dies before 50, and misa b'dei shamayim means that the person dies before he's 60. As for example, kechananya ben ozeh hanovi b'yirmiya. Hananya ben ozeh, who delivered a false prophecy, and God said to him that I will take you away from this world. And right afterwards it says that he died. So we see that death from heaven means literal death. And we find at other times that this punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim doesn't wait until the person is near 60, but he can sometimes be punished immediately. As we find, K'meshe Matzinu Be'er Ve'enon, as we find with Eir and Einon, but they were punished immediately. At any rate, we see that these punishments are meant to be literal and physical. So the question is, Hare nimtzu b'chol deir, kamo v'kamo chayve krisus emises. We find in every generation, since the times of the Beis Hamikdash, we find many people who are guilty of having transgressed those kinds of sins for which the punishment is kodesh and misa b'dei shamayim, and yet ha'ezichu yimeyim u'shneiseyim b'ne'imim, yet they lived a long and pleasant life. So from the fact that they live a long life, we see that they didn't die before 50 or before 60. And should you say that their death consisted of their suffering and of their poverty and of their discomfort in life, so the Rebbe adds the word b'ne'imim. They lived a pleasant life, so they didn't die in any sense at all. So the question is, what about the punishment of Kodesh and Misa B'dei Shamayim? Where did those punishments go to? Why don't we see them in these later generations? The fact that the Shir for today ends here with the question and not with the answer, I guess, is a siman that the answer is not so necessary. It's perfectly okay for them to survive and to live and live out their lives in B'ne'imim. In the Hayem Yom for today, for the 13th of Tammuz, the Rebbe writes that on this day, the Friedrich Rebbe was actually freed. The imprisonment began at 2:15 on Wednesday. That's 2:15 in the morning on Wednesday. And it was Sivan, the 15th of Sivan, in Tafresh Pei Zayin, or the English date, June 15th, 1927. The Rebbe remained in exile in the town of Kostroma, which was after he was freed from the prison. He then was sent to exile and remained there until a half hour past midday of Wednesday, which was the 13th of Tammuz. So being past midday actually makes it the 14th already of Tafresh Pei Zayin, or July 13th of 1927. And the Rebbe explained elsewhere that these 30 days, what basically amounts to 30 days, corresponds to the 30 years that the Friedrich Rebbe was a Rebbe. So it was one day for every year of his Nesiyas that he was in jail or in exile. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote a letter on the occasion of the Chag HaGeula, of the liberation, in which he says, I'm sending a mimer to my dear Hasidim, wherever they may reside successfully, and through this I am united with you in your Fabrengen, and the Fabrengen is for the purpose of strengthening the practices of Hasidus by establishing and observing set times for studying Hasidus, and to be inspired by these Fabrengens to actually implement those things that the studies demand of us. May our God and the God of our fathers bless the whole community of Hasidim, them, their households, their children and grandchildren, among all our brothers, the entire people of Israel. And God should bless them with all good things, both for the body and the soul.